8 Montana Mountain West bank branches are scheduled to close by October. That's our top story tonight. Good evening, I'm Conrad Scheid.
And I'm Corin Cates Carney. Missoula and a city in Southern California are talking about the best way to acquire local water companies currently owned by the Carlyle Group. And Flathead reporter Catherine Fry tells us about a new residency program for family medicine in Kalispell.
Officials with First Interstate Bank System Incorporated plan to close 8 Mountain West Bank branches in Montana when the companies complete their merger in October. First Interstate announced it will close all 3 Mountain West branches in Missoula and one of 2 in Great Falls, along with branches in Bozeman, Whitefish, and Kalispell. FIB plans to relocate Mountain West's main branch in Helena to its nearby retail banking center and drive-up facility and close its branch in downtown Helena. In regulatory language, the closures of the downtown Helena branch, as well as those in Great Falls, Bozeman, Kalispell, and Whitefish, are consolidations, which refers to the closure of an acquired branch in the same neighborhood as an existing FIB branch. First Interstate spokeswoman Cynthia Lyle says the closed Mountain West buildings will eventually be sold.
In other news from around the state, financial disclosure statements show Republican U.S. House candidate Ryan Zinke's personal wealth is more than several times that of his Democratic opponent John Lewis. Lee Newspapers of Montana reports Zinke recently listed assets ranging from $1.1 million to $2.5 million in value. Those assets include bank accounts, homes and property in Whitefish and Kalispell, household goods, and art. 52-year-old Zinke is a retired Navy SEAL and is now in private business. Lewis reported personal assets worth between $66,000 and $165,000, mostly in a retirement savings plan. The 36-year-old is a former top aide to Senator Max Baucus. Federal law requires candidates for the U.S. House and Senate to file financial disclosure forms. The forms require reporting of assets and liabilities and a range of the value.
Those same forms show Republican U.S. Senate candidate Steve Daines is the wealthiest Montanan in Congress, with personal assets worth between $8.9 million and $32.7 million. In contrast, Lee Newspapers reports his Democratic opponent, Senator John Walsh, recently reported assets of $66,000 to $165,000 in personal retirement and bank accounts. Daines' assets include property holdings in Bozeman, Belgrade, and Iowa, shares of a small technology firm in Bozeman, and investment and retirement accounts. U.S. Senator John Tester reported assets valued at $1.1 million to $2.2 million, which are mostly tied up to his family's organic grain farm near Big Sandy.
A 26-year-old Missoula man died after his vehicle hit a guardrail on a one-lane bridge and landed on its side in an irrigation ditch south of Frenchtown. The Montana Highway Patrol says the crash was reported just before midnight on Wednesday. Missoula County Sheriff Lieutenant Jeremy Meter tells the Missoulian the guardrail went through the windshield and struck Derek R. Fredchuk, in the head, killing him. Meter says Fredchuk's car teetered on the bridge before falling into the water. Meter says Fredchuk was removed from the vehicle shortly after 1:30 a.m. It took 3 tow trucks and a crane to remove the car from the water.
A transient has denied charges he fired shots at a building's fast food worker during a robbery attempt and at a police officer who responded to the shooting. The Billings Gazette reports 38-year-old Justin Wesley De La Cruz pleaded not guilty today to 2 counts of attempted deliberate homicide, along with charges of robbery, criminal endangerment, and drug possession. De La Cruz appeared before District Judge Michael G. Moses via video from the Yellowstone County Jail with Assistant Public Defender Clark Matthews. Moses maintained De La Cruz's bail at $1 million. Charging documents allege De La Cruz fired shots at a Sonic drive-in employee after demanding money early on July 6th. Court records allege De La Cruz then fired a shot through the windshield of Officer Shane Weinreich's patrol car, and the 2 men engaged in a shootout that ended when De La Cruz's gun jammed.
Missoula and a Southern Californian town of Apple Valley are separated by over 1,100 miles, but both have at least one thing in common. Officials from both towns want their local water systems under public ownership. Leaders of both communities met earlier this week in Missoula to discuss ways to do just that. Apple Valley's water system is owned and operated by Apple Valley Ranchos Water Company, and Missoula its Mountain Water Company. Both are owned by Park Water Company. Park itself is owned by Western Water Holdings, LLC, which in turn is a wholly owned indirect subsidiary of the Carlyle Infrastructure Partners, a division of the Carlyle Group. That's the private equity firm Missoula officials have sued to assume control of Mountain Water under eminent domain laws. Carlyle rejected the city's purchase offers and is fighting the condemnation suit. Apple Valley Town Council has authorized preparation of a request for proposals for appraisal services for properties including the local water company. When reached by his car phone, town manager Frank Robinson says water rate hikes are now commonplace and locals have reached a breaking point.
Every 3 years, the water utility goes back to the California Public Utilities Commission and proposes rate increases. And these rate increases every 3 years are spread out over a three-year period, but cumulatively, they'll exceed 25-30% in their requests. We've been successful in knocking those requests down, but it is such a costly intervention on our taxpayers, and it requires so much work. And still, we usually wind up with increases that are in the 8-9% range, sometimes in the 15% range on an annualized basis.
Robinson says the California Public Utilities Commission allows privately held utilities to maintain a certain level of profit,
even in bad times. And so part of the justification is their desire to maintain the 8% profit margin that they're allowed to keep. But in addition to that, they'll oftentimes try to work into those rate cases capital improvements that they're proposing. And some of those capital improvements we think are not necessary. And so those are the kinds of issues we debate.
Missoula Mayor Engen says he hopes Missoulians will never have to face those sort of rate hikes.
But here are the barriers to that. The Montana Public Service Commission and the regulatory environment is what it is. And so it depends on who those commissioners are and what the private ownership of the private owners of the water company can attempt to justify in terms of building rate. We don't have to justify anything in terms of our rate beyond our ability to deliver water and maintain the system. And any nickel of profit, and there is profitability in these companies today, clearly for us that becomes reinvestment in the company or lower rates over time or a combination thereof.
Engen says Monday's meeting with reps from Apple Valley was an excellent starting point.
We learned a lot about what each community has been up to and how each community is responding to the news that Carlisle has placed these critical public utilities on the auction block. We want to be part of the transaction. We want to own our piece of it. Apple Valley wants to own its piece of it. And we're hoping to find another partner who wants to own the third leg of the stool, and that's a system called Park Water that serves portions of South Central Los Angeles.
Both Engen and Frank Robinson say no concrete conclusions were reached during Monday's meeting, but that discussions will continue.
The Joan Baez concert scheduled for this evening at the University of Montana was canceled due to illness. Details of the illness weren't publicly released, but it's said to not be serious, only affecting her ability to perform. UM Productions Director Chase Bjornson says Baez intends to reschedule her Missoula performance. An announcement with details will be made on Tuesday, July 22nd.
Plan right now is that we're just going to do full ticket refunds. If tickets are purchased with a credit card, they'll just be automatically refunded at the full ticket price. And if participants purchase tickets with cash or checks, they can go get a refund by visiting the Adams Center box office. A box office representative will be at the Denison Theater tonight at 7 p.m. until 9 to help issue refunds. But we're encouraging people to keep their tickets until Tuesday, July 22nd, because if we get a rescheduled date, they can just keep those tickets and they'll work to the next date.
The performance was slated for 8 this evening in the George and Jane Denison Theater. For more information on ticket refunds, call the Adams Center box office at 1-888-MONTANA or visit grizztix.com. Over 900 tickets had been purchased for tonight's Joan Baez performance.
A new family medicine residency program in western Montana aims to develop and keep the next generation of family physicians in the state. Catherine Fry reports this is only the second family medicine residency program in the state and has the goal of taking Montana out of last place when it comes to training and keeping doctors.
The Flathead Community Health Center in Kalispell is getting renovations.
We actually have added 4 new exam rooms in order to help with the extra providers that we have here. We're building a new lab to make lab draws and do some of our laboratory work a little bit easier and a better flow for patients.
Dr. Justin Bowles is the site director for the new family medicine residency for Western Montana. As of July 1st, three residents started working at the health center, as well as at Kalispell Regional Medical Center.
Really, it's a great model for the residents to step in, help see patients that otherwise wouldn't get health care other places, that might have to wait extra time because the physicians here are already working very hard. So it's been really nice. It's opened up a lot of opportunities for patients to get in and be seen.
Bolt says 90% of the residents' work is in clinic. This new residency program is a partnership between the University of Montana, two Missoula hospitals, Missoula's Partnership Community Health Center, Kalispell Regional Medical Center, and the Flathead Community Health Center. This is the second family medicine residency program in the state, and Bull says it's similar to the first in Billings. Bull says Montana ranks last in the country in graduating residents and training physicians. He says the program aims to train and keep family doctors in Montana.
We have a significant number of physicians that are over the age of 60 and looking towards retirement soon. And unfortunately, we are not graduating residents at a rate to keep up with that.
Billings Montana Family Medicine Residency started in the 1990s in partnership with the University of Washington's School of Medicine. The Billings program has found that 70% of the residents stay and practice in the state. Billings Clinic just started an internal medicine residency with 12 residents this month. The Western Montana program has 10 residents total. They have their first year in Missoula before finishing their second and third years in Kalispell. Dr. T.J. Sherry is part of this first class of residents and hails originally from Frenchtown.
Just wanted to get back home to Western Montana. When I interviewed here, I really liked the dynamic staff. I liked the fact that it was going to take place mostly at just one hospital. And I was really taken in with the physicians at Kalispell Regional Medical Center.
There are three Kalispell residents and more than 30 local physicians signed on to act as mentors. Sherry says he likes family medicine because it's a little bit of everything.
I like delivering children. I like seeing them as pediatrics. I also like the opportunity to go work rural medicine and possibly do ER training as well. So it just offers a wide variety.
Dr. Kevin Kropp is truly coming home with this residency. The Columbia Falls native is currently on the geriatrics rotation,
which is kind of focusing on care for the elderly. So I'm actually working with Dr. Carlberg over at the Brendan House, which is kind of a transitional care unit and a long-term nursing care kind of a place. And so we get there in the morning and round on patients that have problems, need to be seen, new admissions. I do most of the note writing and decision-making as we should as a resident.
Sherry right now has his mornings at the hospital working with physicians and with patients. Both then work in the clinic in the afternoons seeing their own patients. Kropp says he heard about the program through word of mouth.
As soon as I heard that, I just knew, like, that's where I need to be. This is kind of where I want to practice or close by somewhere here. And so being part of the residency was just something that felt very natural to me.
The residency includes 13 four-week blocks during which residents focus on pediatrics, cardiology, geriatrics, orthopedics, intensive care and emergency care, as well as the clinic time. Dr. Bowles says with the new residency program, the Flathead Community Health Center is now able to offer prenatal care on through pediatrics and up to geriatric care. Kalispell Regional Medical Center says the program received accreditation in 2012, and the 10 residents were chosen out of 110 applicants for the first class. Katrin Fry reporting from the Flathead.
In tonight's forecast, west of the divide tonight is mostly clear with some areas of smoke, lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s. Friday should be mostly sunny, still with smoke, and highs in the 80s to lower 90s. Central Montana tonight is partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows 50 to 60. Tomorrow will remain partly cloudy. There's a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon and highs 80 to 85. Southwest Montana this evening looks to be partly cloudy with isolated showers and thunderstorms in the evening, lows 45 to 55. Friday should be sunny with highs from 75 to 85. And now for the editorial comments of Kalina Miller.
Thank you. Good evening, Montana. My name is Kalina Miller, and I'm the director of the Montana Energy Corps program. Tonight, I'd like to tell you about my journey of service as a Montana Energy Corps member, the amazing community and professional opportunities Energy Corps provides adults of all ages, and let you and your friends know a little bit about our current opportunities to serve with our program. Just over 3 years ago, I began searching for a way to trade in the fast-paced environment of New York for a new adventure in a different part of the country, or world for that matter. I'd given the Peace Corps some thought several times throughout my early 20s, but never quite reached the end of the application. With my strong desire to use my environmental policy degree, I started looking at environmentally focused AmeriCorps programs located in the Northwest. I had heard AmeriCorps described as a domestic Peace Corps program, which was very appealing to me. As I searched the AmeriCorps portal, sifting through hundreds of posted service positions, my initial curiosity developed into a sincere interest to work with communities on environmental issues. Several weeks later, I found myself in Butte, America, beginning my Energy Corps term with the National Center for Appropriate Technology, or NCAT, as it is more commonly known. NCAT's mission is to help people by championing small-scale, local, and sustainable solutions to reduce poverty, promote healthy communities, and protect natural resources. During my service term, I engaged in several projects, including a greenhouse gas emissions inventory, a home energy workshop series, and a K-12 wind energy curriculum project. As my first AmeriCorps term approached completion, I decided to sign up for an additional term. I felt as if I had barely scratched the surface of understanding my new community. Serving an additional term in Butte helped establish a stronger structure in which the projects I had started could thrive and continue on. After completing my AmeriCorps service, I was hired on as the Energy Corps coordinator in Montana, carrying out the mission of the program from the other side of the desk. NCAT created the Energy Corps AmeriCorps program in 2008. Addressing unmet community energy needs by promoting sustainable energy consumption and education, fostering community sustainability, and helping mitigate the effects of climate change. Energy Corps members help serve communities in need while gaining new skills and experiences. The program provides hands-on training and skills development to help design a green-collar workforce capable of meeting the needs of our energy future. Over the last 3 years, the Energy Corps program has placed 50 service members throughout the state of Montana. As part of the National Energy Corps program, those members contributed significantly to community progress, helping community members who needed energy assistance and education. Over the course of the last calendar year, Energy Corps members provided hands-on assistance to over 500 buildings in Montana. Hands-on energy assistance includes weatherization and conservation, energy assessments and consultations, and alternative energy projects. Energy Corps members promote energy and conservation awareness by developing and conducting education presentations, events, and trainings in energy efficiency and environmentally conscious practices. Last year alone, Energy Corps members educated almost 3,000 individuals on energy efficiency, renewables, and other sustainable practices, and reached K-12 student populations as well as college audiences, community civic groups, and senior citizen centers. Presentation topics include reduce, reuse, recycle, adult energy-wise classes, renewable energy, as well as residential weatherization. Several members even led tours of recycling plants, in addition to collecting waste vegetable oil from restaurants to then be used for biodiesel. In addition to providing energy education and weatherization assistance, Energy Corps members receive professional development training during their service terms. Last year alone, they attended a total of over 300 training events. The skills members acquire include residential energy efficiency and building science, energy building techniques, sustainability curriculum development, and the ability to conduct a complete residential energy audit. To get involved with the Energy Corps program, you can visit our website at www.energycorps.org. We're currently recruiting for 13 new Energy Corps positions that will start service in 6 communities on October 1st of this year. Please visit our website to read the position descriptions as well as download the application. Additionally, if you work with a nonprofit organization, educational institution, or a local municipality and want to learn more about hosting an Energy Corps member, please don't hesitate to contact us. We're always looking for new partners. Again, our website is www.energycorps.org. That's energycorps.org. You can also reach me directly at 406-494-4572. Sitting here now, 3 years after my adventure in the West began, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to lead the Energy Corps program in a state that values and promotes the expansion of service and volunteer opportunities in every community. in Butte with the National Center for Appropriate Technology. I'm Kalina Miller for the Alternative Energy Resources Organization. ARRO is a grassroots membership organization serving as Montana's hub for sustainable communities, inspiring change, connecting local leaders, and building capacity for success across the state for 40 years. If you'd like to get involved, visit ARRO online at www.arromontana.org. That's AEROMT.org.
Kalina Miller is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition. The views expressed don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Corin Cates-Carney.
And I'm Conrad Schott. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.